The Victory Theater presents Amos and Andy with their famous guests, Victor Moore and Edward Arnold. But first, speaking for the United States government, Mr. Cecil B. DeMille.
There was a great soldier once, ladies and gentlemen, who used to get down on his knees before every battle and pray. His name was George Washington. And if he were alive today, I believe he'd be praying perhaps harder than he ever did before. He might almost regret that a century and a half of the freedom he fought for has bred in Americans a spirit of optimism and self-confidence, a blind faith in our own power. And he might pray that we may be taught a realistic concept of the battles that lie before us. We're a long way from winning this war, and a few scattered successes here and there merely emphasize the brutal, weary distance we have yet to go. We can't afford to underestimate the enemy. We've got to work much harder at what we're doing, think and live this war until we've won it. We're in the greatest dance of death this world has ever known. We can't afford to sit this dance out.
And now, an original half-hour comedy with Amos and Andy and Victor Moore and Edward Arnold. Even as love came to Andy Hardy, love has come to Andy Brown. It has come in the shape of lovely Yvonne Jefferson, and truly a lovely shape. Tonight, Andy is on his way to the Harlem branch of the Honesty Insurance Company, where Yvonne is employed to surprise her when she gets through work. Amos is driving Andy over in the taxi.
Yeah, Amos, Yvonne sure is going to be surprised when I call for her. She don't expect me yet.
Yeah, you sure she going to be there this time of night?
Oh, sure. She always works late on account she take all the letters in shorthand, and it always takes her longer that way.
Yeah. Yeah, you really crazy about that gal, ain't you?
Amos, she is the one I don't want to sit under the apple tree with nobody else except. Boy, I done been bit by the love bug before, but this time it's really inoculated me. And I'm going to ask her to marry me, too.
Well, don't you think that's rushing things, little Andy? After all, you hardly know the gal.
But Amos, when you was hit with a great love, time stands still. Time don't mean nothing. What time is it?
It's almost 8 o'clock.
8? Step on it, Amos. I don't want to miss Yvonne. Come on, Amos.
Well, you don't need to rush. There's the building right here.
Where?
Right there on the corner there. See the sign there? Honesty Insurance Company. Honesty is the best policy.
Yeah, okay. Come on.
Yeah, I don't see no lights on, Andy.
Yeah, well, she work in the room in the back.
Oh, you going to the back door?
Well, there ain't no back door. I'm going up the alley and stick my head in the window and surprise her. Only you better come along and boost me up, count as a high window.
Yeah, that's a high-class-looking box of candy you got there, son.
Yeah, well, I've been saving the box for just such occasion like this, and I done filled it up with dime store candy, and then I put a ribbon around it.
Yeah, well, ain't she gonna know it's dime store candy even though you got it in a fancy box?
No. The only way she could tell is by eating it, but I has done writ $2.50 on the bottom of the box, and her eyes will pop out at the price before her tongue can pop out for the candy.
Oh, yeah.
Now, wait a minute. There's the window right there, see? Boost me up on this ash can so I can see
it. Come on now. Get up there now.
Yeah, hold that ash can steady, Amos.
I can't.
But why not?
You're standing on my hand.
Oh, excuse me. Excuse me. Wait a minute. Shh. I can see her.
Yeah?
Yeah, she's there by herself, and she... Uh-oh. This ain't good. I don't believe it. I see it with my own eyes, and I still don't believe it. Amos, get me down.
Yeah. What's the matter, Andy?
Nothing at all. Come on.
Yeah, well, where are we going? Ain't you going to surprise Andy?
She done beat me to it. She done surprised me.
Well, hello there, Andy. You see the morning's newspaper?
Ain't no mood for papers. Hello, Kingfish.
Yeah, well, say here in the headline, Honest Insurance Company rob of $796, and look at 12 cents.
Pretty cheap company, worrying about 12 cents.
Yeah, well, ain't that the place where your girlfriend worked there, Andy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought so. The paper said that she was the last one to leave the place. It also said that she said that the front door and all the windows was carefully locked before she left.
Yeah, you think the police gonna catch you, Dennis?
Oh, yeah. Oh, ain't no two ways about it. You know, they start with that fingerprint stuff and all that. And it won't take them long at all. Everything is science these days, Andy. Yeah, they catch the criminal right in the test tube.
They do, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Everything is scientific. Yeah, I see the moving picture ones where the only clue was a piece of hair.
Mm.
Yeah, they analyzed the hair and they found some special kind of tonic on it.
Yeah.
Then they analyzed the tonic and they found out what drugstore was bought at.
Mm.
Then they analyzed the druggist. Yeah, I tell you, just from that one piece of hair, you ain't never seen so much arresting in your life. It was arresting people right and left. The whole thing ought to be a good lesson to criminals.
What's the lesson?
Always wear a hat when you goes on a job.
What?
Yeah, well, I guess that's right, all right, yeah. Say, Kingfisher, come Amos. I wonder if I could be alone with him. I want to speak to him about something.
Oh, right. Sure thing, Andy.
Yeah. Well, hello there, Kingfish. How's your day, Andy?
Hello, Andy.
Yeah, well, I'll be running along. See you boys later. Come
yeah.
on.
Amos, did you see the paper?
You mean about the honesty robber? Yeah, I see it, then.
Listen, son, I'm going crazy here. I got to speak to you. When I looked in that window last night, I see Yvonne take some money out to see it.
Sure enough.
Yeah, and she put it in her pocketbook.
You know, I figured it was something like that from the way you've been worrying, Andy.
Amos, what must I do?
Well, you gotta go and tell the police, Andy.
Yeah, but how can I do that? I was in love with Yvonne.
Andy, if she took that money, then you was in real love with the wrong person.
Not if she got $796.12, I ain't.
Now, wait a minute, Andy. It's your duty to report what you see, no matter who you see do it.
Yeah, I was afraid that's what you'd say. I guess you're right, though, Amos. Oh, me, poor little Yvonne. Yesterday, we was two little lovebirds. Now, she gonna be a jailbird and I gonna be a stool pigeon.
Did you see the news, Henry? The gal of Anna's done been arrested.
Yes, I heard. You met the young lady, too, didn't you, Brother Crawford?
Yes, I did meet her. As a matter of fact, she visited us once at our house.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to keep that quiet. My wife was very much annoyed when she was arrested.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Sure was thoughtless of her to go and get arrested after visiting you. But some people don't know nothing about etiquette, you know.
Yes, and according to the papers, she's been indicted and she's out on bail. It seems that some cousin of hers put up the bail for her.
My wife told me that there was even some talk of Andy marrying the girl. That my wife will not stand for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, now there's a peculiar situation there. A man gonna marry a gal and now he got to go to court and kill the witness against her for robbery. That's why I always keep saying to my wife, honey, never do nothing that's gonna land you in the clink. Because I love you too much.
Yes, love is thicker than larceny, all right. Well, look here. Look who's coming. Hello, Andy.
Hello, fellas.
Sorry about the news, Andy. Well, I'll be running along now.
Yes, it was a big blow to all of us, and my deepest sympathy goes to the poor girl who was caught stealing the money. And to you, too. Goodbye, Andy.
So long. Kingfish, don't go. Don't go.
Yeah.
Listen, you know about the law. If a party of the first part tell the police, which is the party of the second part, what he see the party to the third part do, does I have to appear in court against her as the party to the fourth part?
Yeah, that's some party you got there, son. Let me think here. Now, that comes under the America's Hapless Witness Law and all that versus vice stuff, you see. Wait a minute. Now, in the case of the state of Ohio versus my brother-in-law, how did that go? They wanted him to appear as a witness, and he didn't want to.
Hmm.
He flatly refused, because he knew that they couldn't do nothing about it.
What happened?
I don't know. I'll go ask him as soon as he get out of jail. Yeah, but listen, Andy, here's what you better do. You just... who is this coming in here?
Pardon me, but is there a Mr. Andrew H. Brown anywhere around?
Well, what you want to see him about?
I'm going
to
beat it, Andy. I'll see you later.
Okay, Kingfish. Okay.
He called you Andy. And you are Mr. Brown. I know it.
Well, so what? I know it before you did.
Would it be a terrible imposition if I sat down?
No. Go ahead. Sit down. What do you want, mister?
My name is Victor Moore.
Yeah, glad to know you, Mr. Moore. In connection with what, can I do something for you about?
Well, Excuse me while I loosen my shoelaces a little. All day long, I just walk, walk, walk. It certainly feels good to sit down for a minute.
Mister, this is my busy day. I got a lot on my mind. Proceed with everything, will you?
Oh, it's just a little matter of... Well, darn it all, I just have to offer you this summons.
Well, thanks just the same, but I, excuse me for protruding, but, did you say... Yeah, that's what I thought you'd say. And I ain't gonna accept it.
Oh, Mr. Brown, that isn't playing the game.
I tell you, I ain't gonna take it.
Oh, please.
No, sir.
Pretty please.
No, sir, I ain't accepting no summonses.
But I'm supposed to serve it on you, and if I don't, it puts me in an awful bad light.
Well, the light's better outside. Goodbye.
But, Mr. Brown, think of my wife and kiddies. They're taking the bread right out of their mouths, the roof from over their heads, and the clothes off of their backs. Which way is the river?
River? Go 2 blocks south and... Well, what is I doing here? You mean if I don't accept this summons, is that you is ruined?
Irrevocably.
Is that good or bad?
That's bad.
Yeah, well, I don't want to do nothing to hurt you, mister, but the thing is, I don't want to appear as a witness against my gal.
Your gal?
Yeah. If I goes to court, she goes to jail.
Oh, that's awful.
On the other hand, though, if I don't take this summons, you lose your job. All right, come on, serve me with the summonses. I'll work it out some way.
But then your girl would have to go to jail. My goodness. We can't have that. I'll just tear it up.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. You got to eat. Yeah, give me that summonses.
No, I won't give it to you. I won't send that girl to the penitentiary. I'll starve first.
Is you going to give me that paper, or does I have to take it away from you?
You're not man enough to take it away from me. If I don't want to serve a summons, a mule couldn't pull it away from me.
I couldn't I? Give me that.
No, wait. You can't.
Give me it.
Oh, now, you shouldn't have taken it.
Listen here, mister. You is too soft-hearted. Take my advice and get out of this summons' business. You don't belong in it.
Is that so? I've been serving them for 40 years, and I never saw this method fail yet. So long, sucker.
What is that you say, honey? Speak louder, honey. Speak louder, will you? Oh, now, don't you worry, Yvonne. Oh, we're going to work out something smart to get you out of this mess. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll be waiting for you to pick me up. Yeah, you honk for me. Goodbye, sweetness. Goodbye. Hot dog, doggone. The love bug is living again. Yes, sir. She's under the apple tree with nobody else with me. Oh, hello, Amos. Hello.
Hello there, Andy. What's come over you? You act like you was a new man. You rolling along there?
Oh, no. I was the same man, but I had a retread. I just talked to Yvonne. Boy, she done forgive me.
Yeah, but Andy, you got a tough to fly against her.
Yeah, but I'm going to meet her in a few minutes, and we're going to spend the evening working out her defense. I as a defense worker.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I figures that she ought to base her case on temporarily insanity.
Insanity?
Yeah, every time she gets near some money, she go insane.
Yeah, well, I hope for her sake that her lawyer got a better defense than that.
Oh, she got a good lawyer, all right. I done told her about that alley lawyer, you know, but she say no.
Yeah, well, he ain't no good. He ain't even got a degree. Mm. He ain't even allowed inside the railing in the courtroom.
Yeah, but don't forget, he got a megaphone, and he can cross-examine at 40 feet and still get results. Oh, he already got a good angle on the defense.
What's that?
He say she ought to plead that she thought it was Confederate money and she was just taking it home as a souvenir.
And what if that don't work, Andy?
Well, then he say you gotta throw away the law books, pull the light switch, and make a break for the door.
Listen, he really a great lawyer, all right. I don't know how he stays out of jail itself. He must be his own best client.
Oh, we don't even need him. I got an idea of my own. See you later, Emma. See you later. There's Yvonne honking for me.
Yeah, well, wait a minute, Andy. What's your idea for the defense?
Well, my idea is that she ought to explain to the judge that she was just collecting her salary in advance on account of she always do her Christmas shopping early. I was coming, honey. I was coming.
And now, Mr. DeMille.
War is never a bargain to anybody. No one has time to go window shopping for the cheapest weapons or cut-rate strategy. War is brutal and bloody and expensive. In this war, it's up to us to see that our men, on land, on sea, and in the air, are as well equipped as their enemies, or a good deal better. And we've got to pay for it. I've got to pay for it. You've got to pay for it. We've got to buy war bonds. Buy them now and keep on buying them. You all know why. But just to bring it home to you in a way you might not have considered, let me read you part of a poem. A poem written by a United States Marine somewhere in the Pacific. And if our lines should form and break because of things you failed to make, the extra tank or ship or plane for which we waited, all in vain, and the supplies that never came, will you then come and take the blame? For we, not you, will pay the cost of battles you, not we, have lost. That's a Marine's way of putting it. One answer a civilian can write is a check for more war bonds.
Hello, Kingfish. Hello. All set for the big trial?
Oh, yes, yes, Henry. Yeah, waiting for the big trial. That courtroom is sure crowded in there, but my wife's inside holding two seats down front, you see. She kind of spread herself out, reserving both places.
Yes, well, your wife can do that.
Yeah, ain't it the truth, yeah? I always say that she... Now, wait a minute, Henry, wait a minute. Your wife ain't no demitassel herself, you know.
Say, fellas, is your seat handy?
No, I ain't seen him for 5 days. Amos, what you so excited about?
Well, nobody seen him for 5 days. The trial has started already, and he ain't here yet.
Will you please clear the hall? Those of you who are going into the courtroom better get in there. The trial's been on for 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, that must mean Nandy's arrived. Come on, fellas, let's go in there.
And I say to you, members of the jury, this is a clear-cut case of grand larceny. There's no testimony the defense can present which will refute it. I would like to call the first witness to the stand. George Stevens, for Mr. Clayton, see.
Oh, coming right up. Coming right up, yes, yes.
Mr. Stevens, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth to help you?
I do, yes. I got my integrity right with me, yes.
All right, sit down, Mr. Stevens.
Oh, thank you, Miss Horn. Thank you.
Now then, what can you tell the court in regard to the character of the defendant?
You mean the girl that stole the money from...
Objection! Sustained.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Witness will confine himself to answering the questions put to him.
Put that question again, please, Mr. Prosecutor.
Prosecutor!
Yeah.
The question, Mr. Stevens, had to do with the character of Yvonne Jefferson. Now, what do you know about her?
Oh, well, if I can't say something good about a person, I don't ever say nothing. So in her case, I shuts up, you see? On the other hand, though, I has known her for a while, and frankly, I wouldn't trust her with a hot stove and a blackout.
Objection! Sustained. You may step down, Mr. Stevens.
I put a coal stove in the blackout.
Objection!
Well, I done the best I could. Give me another crack at it. I might do a little better here.
Step down, Mr. Stevens.
Getting down. Getting right down. Yes, sir.
Now then, will Mr. Andrew H. Brown please take the stand?
Court will be cleared if order is not maintained. Swear the witness in.
Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you?
So help me.
Mr. Brown, how long have you known the defendant?
Who, me? We as old friends. We practical growed up together lately.
How long have you known her?
4 weeks and 3 days. We growed up fast.
Did you see the defendant at approximately 8 o'clock in the evening, August 1st, 1942, at the Honey Insurance Company?
Well, me and Amos was...
Answer yes or no!
Can I have a glass of water?
Clerk, pour the witness a glass of water.
This test of flying is thirsty business.
Here you are.
Thank you. Oh, that was good.
Now answer the question, please.
What question? Where was we?
Did you see the defendant on the evening of August the 1st at the Honesty Insurance Company?
Yes, sir.
Well, tell the court your own words just what transpired on that occasion.
Well, I had a box of candy for her, so I went round in the back of the insurance company to surprise her through the window. I climbed up on the ash can and looked in.
When you got up on the ash can, Mr. Brown, could you see the defendant through the window?
Yes, sir.
Well, tell the court exactly what you saw.
Well, when I looked through the window, I see the... Can I have another glass of water?
Order in this court. Order. Come on, here's your water, Mr. Brown.
Thank you. I'm so hot as the winter that didn't sizzle going down.
Now, will you please tell us what you saw, Mr. Brown?
Where was I?
On top of the ash can! What did you see?
Well, I saw...
Can the defense ask one question?
This is irregular and unusual, but if the prosecution has no objection, the court has none.
No objection. You may answer the question, Mr. Brown.
Judge, if I object here, would you sustain it?
No.
Okay. Go ahead, mister. Go ahead.
Mr. Brown, when you looked through that window from the top of the ash can, is it not true that you saw your wife in that room?
Yes, sir, that's true.
Do you mean to tell this court that you did not see the defendant, Yvonne Jefferson?
Yes, sir, I seen her, too. I seen them both at the same time because they are both the same people. Me and her got married this morning.
If the court please, the defense moves to strike out the testimony of this witness on the grounds that a man's disqualified by law from testifying for or against his wife.
Witness will step down. Court reporter will strike out his testimony. The jury is instructed to disregard what he has said. Prosecution will proceed with his case. Will excuse, Mr. Brown.
That mean I gotta tell nobody about seeing or stealing the money?
I don't see Andy nowhere around here, Kingfish. Maybe one of us should have kind of covered the bus station.
Yeah, well, I sure he said he was gonna take a train, Amos. He said he was going to the South Seas, and the buses don't go there.
Yeah, well, trains don't go there neither. There's something awful wrong about this thing, Kingfish. Why is he going away all alone? He done married that gal to save her, and, well, he ain't done seen her since yesterday in the courtroom. And if he's running away from something...
Look, Amos, look. Ain't that him over there by the ticket window?
Yeah, that's him, all right. Come on, Kingfish. Andy, hey, Andy.
Amos, Kingfish, what you doing here?
Listen, Andy, nothing. We ain't trying to mess in your business, Andy. Well, we just wanted to say goodbye to you.
Oh, goodbye. I was off to the South Seas. You've been a good friend, Amos. I'll send you a coconut.
Goodbye, Andy.
Yeah. Another thing, Andy. You didn't tell us nothing about the wedding. When one of my friends gets married, why, I kind of like to hear about the wedding.
Yeah, tell us about it, Andy. You got time before your train leaves.
Oh, well, it was just a simple ceremony.
Mm-hmm, yeah, that's the best kind, simple, yeah.
Yeah, we went to this justice of the peace, and he stood in front of us, and Yvonne was on one side of me. The justice's wife was on the other side, and behind me was Yvonne's cousin with the gun, and there was some organ music, and...
Oh, wait a minute. What's that you say about a fella with a gun, Andy?
Did I say that?
Yeah.
Oh, me, I should never say that.
Oh, come on now, talk, Andy. Come on now, tell us what you're going to tell us.
You was forced into this marriage, Andy. Ain't that right?
Amos, please. Your cousin said if I say anything, they'd find me floating down the river. And you know I can't swim a stroke.
Now, look here. We ain't going to let him get away with nothing like that, is we, Kingfish?
No, sir. That cousin can't scare us. You ain't scared, is you, Andy?
Who, me? A little.
Oh, now look here. Come on, Andy. We're going to get this marriage null and voided.
Quit dragging me, boys. Let go of my arm. Let go of my arm so I can get my money back for this ticket.
Okay. Say, where was you going, Andy?
I don't know. I just asked the man for $12 worth of distance. That ought to take me someplace in the South Seas.
Well, you can't go, Andy.
Well, what is I going to do with that sarong that I bought?
And therefore, in view of the fact that said Andrew Brown was forced into this marriage under threat of bodily harm, I do hereby declare said marriage annulled.
Who gets the custody of the $796.12?
And now that you can legally testify again, Mr. Brown, will you please tell us what you saw from the top of the egg?
Yes, sir. Could I have another glass of water?
Defendant Yvonne Jefferson, having been found guilty, is hereby remanded to the custody of the sheriff and ordered held for sentence. Court adjourned.
Well, Andy, I guess that's that.
Yeah, thank goodness that's over. You sure they caught that cousin fella that was the best man at my wedding?
Oh, yeah, he's in jail, all right. Only he wasn't no cousin of Yvonne's. He was her real sweetheart, Andy.
He was?
Yeah.
Well, Amos, that experience has done taught me one thing.
What's that?
No more women. I is off women's for life. They is poison. So help me, Amos, if I ever look at another woman again. If I ever...
What you staring at, Andy?
There goes the sweetest looking gal I done ever seen. I gotta run along now, Amos. So long, I'll see you later.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the sixth of the Victory Theater programs, and the first time that Amos and Andy have appeared in a half-hour comedy radio play. It's your pleasure, gentlemen, to have you with us.
Yes, sir, thank you, Mr. DeMille. Andy and me are more than glad to do anything we can for Uncle Sam, ain't we, Andy?
We sure is. We and a couple of nephews, he's been awful good to. And we know we can't have no E. Pluribus without no Unum.
You may not have said that quite grammatically, Andy, but nobody has ever said it better. We do need absolute unity and plenty of fortitude, because we can't expect an easy victory. Our recent successes on several fronts are very heartening, but we must be prepared for many hardships and reverses before total victory is achieved. The present military actions should not make us forget the dangerous situation on the Russian front and the difficulties of overseas supplies. They should spur us to increased production and greater civilian efforts.
Ain't them the exact words I was telling you this morning, Amos?
Well, them is the words, but not exact, Andy. What you say is that if we want to stay in there punching, we ain't got time to stop and shake hands with ourselves.
No, but I think you've got time to shake hands with me. Thank you, Amos and Andy, for being here. And our thanks to Edward Arnold and Victor Moore.
Thank you, Mr.
Yes,
Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Miller.
Good night. Good night. And remember, a bond in the hand helps the Rangers to land.
The United States government takes this opportunity to thank all of the people who made this Victory Theater program possible. The stars, the writers, Lud Gluskin, who wrote and directed the musical score, and the men behind the scenes in the Columbia Broadcasting System and their affiliated stations. All of them have given their time and talent without return so that you and your government can have a rallying point in the conduct of the war. Next week at the same time, the Victory Theater will present as the contribution of the Screen Guild show that stirring story of an average citizen, Joe Smith, American, adapted from the picture of the same name and starring Robert Young and Ruth Hussey. Be sure to tune in again next Monday evening. And may I remind you that starting September 1st, Hollywood's greatest stars will be in or near your hometown. Join them in helping to put your town over the top in War Bonds for Victory. Your announcer has been Del Sharbot, This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.